Growing up for a while, if you were like me, you used to say the words of the Apostles' Creed, and sometimes we just said it, and sometimes we said what we really believed in our heart. But early in the Apostles' Creed, takes these words from the Bible and puts it in a proclamation. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth. That'll change your life right there. And in Jesus Christ, His only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary. Now, never let go of the fact of who Jesus is and what He accomplished on our behalf, dying for our sins, raising from the dead, and starting off in a miraculous birth. Mary and the Holy Spirit, and then Jesus comes. And so this is a passage that highlights Mary as a follower of Jesus, and going to talk about her a little bit and how God worked in her life and how He works in our life in a similar manner. He came into Mary's life in a very unexpected way. In fact, the Amplified Bible puts it this way in terms of how God's relationship with Mary was. Mary, the angel says, you found grace, free, spontaneous, absolute favor with God. If you're walking around thinking, I wonder what my relationship with God is like. Well, it can be like free, spontaneous, absolute favor with God. Spontaneous doesn't mean unplanned. It means a given, suddenly and unexpectedly. And so one of the Christmas surprises in the Bible and for you and I is this. Jesus is given to us like Jesus is given to Mary. And you might say, not exactly. You're right, not exactly. Given to Mary physically, eventually would change her life in terms of her soul. But given to us in just as a significant manner to have our life be changed. Okay, Jesus be born in us today, an old Christmas song says. And you might say, well, I could never follow Christ like Mary did. God would differ with you. Okay? Because the angel told Mary, nothing is impossible with God. You and I would suffer around in life and stumble and fall, but God would let us know, hey, with God, nothing is impossible in terms of our ability to follow Him. So God's unmerited favor toward Mary and then toward you and I, a little parallel there, freely from God as an absolute favor. So Jesus in your life and my life is the undeserved gift. It's the biggest favor God will ever do for us, giving us His Son. And He's a life changer every moment. And if we received Him, we're still totally amazed by Him with the same emotional intensity that Mary had, I think, when we stop to pause. I think it happens in worship. I think it happens when we go throughout the day and occasionally we turn to God and say, this is amazing that you would introduce yourself to me, dear Lord. So some of the things we know about Mary that you and I could relate to. First of all, Mary didn't expect the blessing of Jesus. Total surprise. Okay, she was troubled, she wondered, and she was afraid. And sometimes we'll be like that in our relationship with God. I can't know exactly what to do with God. All that I know is He's great and He's to be trusted and loved and followed. That's kind of Mary's eventual heart. She was troubled, she wondered. And so you and I can wonder about how God stops us in our tracks and changes our life by introducing Himself to us. Second thing about Mary we see in the passage, Mary couldn't figure out God's ways. Not only was unexpected with Jesus, she was baffled even after the angel explained what was going on. She said, how can this be? For Mary, it was going to have to be a miracle. And if you and I are going to follow Christ, it'll have to be a miracle. God supplies the power, and we supply the wonder and the willingness. Okay? There's an old song about the amazing of Christ, even at the cross, in the song At the Cross that we sing at Easter. Amazing pity, grace unknown, and love beyond degree. In other words, there's something about what God does for us in the birth of Jesus his death and rising, that it's unknown in terms of the tremendous power in the person of Christ. And so often I think people in different traditions depict Mary as a person very willing in her relationship with God. I think that's a good model for us, that we could be like that. Okay? She was a good example to follow, in other words. And she couldn't figure out the Lord. Number three, Mary knew she needed God's mercy. Mary knew she needed God's mercy. This is sung by Mary in verse 50 in the passage. She says, God's mercy extends to those who fear him. So if you respect God, you know you need his mercy every morning. One of the things that you and I have in common with every person in the Bible, except the Lord, is that we need God's mercy new every morning, as his word says in Lamentations. So this morning I got up, I was a little bit tired, stayed up way too late watching an old ball game, two teams battling it out, didn't decide in the last minute and 30 or whatever. So you try to get settled and you don't fall asleep till after midnight. And okay, you go worship God with others. And you've been there. And some of you missed church because you did that. But God, you know, he knows we need mercy every morning. And Mary could have prayed right there, God, show your mercy to me. She would need God's mercy in her life, seeing her son crucified, not understanding him. Was he going to do the miracle at the wedding or not? Yes, he would. Not understanding when he was teaching and didn't necessarily stay with the family as much. But this is the change that Jesus brought to Mary, he'll bring to us. And then fourth thing about Mary, Mary and Joseph came from physically and spiritually humble means. Mary and Joseph. Mary and Joseph were poor, in other words. When Jesus was dedicated, Mary and Joseph brought to dedicate him like an offering to God, two doves or two pigeons. Pigeons are kind of, they're pretty humble birds. They're young pigeons. There used to be pigeons all over the place in downtown Pittsburgh. You go there and it's like, it's not like a pleasant experience. Okay, two pigeons for God. And they were allowed to do that if they didn't have a lot of means. People who had means, they would bring a lamb for their firstborn. Mary and Joseph didn't have a lot. We'll go with the doves or the pigeons. And so we are like Mary, spiritually poor, don't have anything to bring to God other than our own brokenness and need. We're in need of God's mercy. We can't figure God out. And sadly, we are not really expecting Jesus. We have to come to grips with that. Not really expecting Jesus. Sometimes not at Christmas. Sometimes not in worship. Sometimes not when we go through our God-given routine. The good news is, even when we're not expecting Jesus, he comes anyway. He comes anyway. He is faithful. He loves us, and there's nothing we could do about it. I like a promise of God's love in the Message Bible in Jeremiah 31. God says this to a people still in captivity, that they're still, they don't have outwardly the freedom that they're going to have someday in heaven. I think Shelley spoke of that in her Sunday school class. God says this, I've never quit loving you and never will. Expect love, love, and more love. Quite a promise from the Lord. It's probably been a long time since any of your dear loved ones have said that to you. Been married so many years. Well, you could expect love, love, and more love. You'd probably say, well, bring it on. That'd be great. When God says it, he does it, and he means it. So that's how the Lord reached out to Mary. That's how he reaches out to us. Mary was poor, not powerful. She was at risk. God was kind of standing up for her in her plight. And he would help her in Romans. When was the last time somebody stood up for you? That's a pretty inspiring thing. If you had brothers you grew up with, it's fun when they stand up for you. I remember one time being questioned by our license and ordination committee at the district of the churches here in Western PA, and I didn't know any of them. They didn't know me from you all, and they had a question, you know, and I went my own direction to answering the question, you know, daydreaming or whatever, and the guy shook his head and frowned, but the superintendent, his name is David Muir at that point, he stood up for me. He said, "Well, you answer the question, Reverend so-and-so. You're the one who asked it." I said, "Right on." It's great when somebody stands up for you, right? We God calls you to do that for your Christian brother and sister, for your neighbor in need, for the person who don't know the Lord yet. You want to stand up for them so that they might know Christ? Jesus stands up for you. He did for Mary. Romans 8:34 in the Message Bible. Jesus is in the presence of the Father at this very moment, sticking up for us. Part of the grace of God. Three short examples of Christmas grace. God's unmerited favor, like he did to Mary. One Billy Graham's grandson said this, that the Lord's not just the diving board we spring off of, but he is the ocean of water we can swim in every day. He lives in Florida, so he's into the diving board and ocean thing. But to know God, when he gives himself to us, he gives us the best from the start. The best from the start. That's Jesus. Give thanks. Be grateful like Mary was. Secondly, many times we won't know what to do with God's gift. There's a letter to a pastor that is written showing awkwardness about grace, God intervening in our lives, and it's unmerited and such. The pastor, this guy wrote it to a pastor with satire. Satire is like humor going in the other direction to make a point. So here's the letter. Restore to us, pastor, the comfort of earning God's favor. Tell us there's something we could do to show we are the master of this relationship with God. Give us something, anything, but spare us the indignity of God's undeserved acceptance and blessing. We are not sure we want the gift offered to the most wretched among us. Now catches our attention, because we realize the way Mary responded to the Lord, we have to also. What did she say? She said, she didn't know what was going to happen. All that she said was, "I am the Lord's servant. May it be to me as he has said." Okay, that's a heart to trust God. You can do that for your salvation, you know. "I don't know how to be a Christian. I don't know how to follow Christ. I don't know. Can I know that I would go to heaven?" Put your trust in Christ, not yourself. Pray a simple prayer. "Lord, be merciful to me." And God will win your heart over to himself. You could do this. This is his will for you. And then one more example of unexpected grace from a famous movie. I haven't seen the movie, just read about it. And it was written as a story in the 1800s. Names changed from French to English, because I have a hard time with French pronunciations. Jack was a desperate common thief who spent years in prison for his crimes. When Jack was pardoned, priests let him stay with him at his house for a bit until Jack got back on his feet. Jack betrays his gracious host, of course a Christian man, by robbing him of almost all the silver in his house. So some of your in-laws have done that to you. Hopefully not. But this is what happens in the story. And Jack runs off in the middle of the night. When the police catch Jack, he lies and says, "Oh, this guy gave me all these gifts. He wanted me to have them." Okay, let's go find out. And the priest says, he sticks up for Jack. "Yeah, this is for him. And oh, Jack, you forgot these very expensive candlesticks. How could you forget the best that you left behind?" What did he leave behind? And Jack's beside himself when he's let go because of the mercy of this Christian. Because Jack only knows himself as a sinner, a thief, and a prisoner. But now Jack has tasted mercy. He's totally changed by it. Not just mercy, but he's given gifts for the sins that he made. Could you imagine? You come to God with your sins. And then he says, let me give you gifts. Because only the gift of Jesus will really take care of these sins. So Jack spends the rest of his life passing on God's grace. He's not perfect, but he's grateful and giving and forgiving. And Jesus is changing his sons and daughters like that. Part of what he did for Mary, part of what he'll do for me. The angel said in Matthew's gospel, give him the name Jesus, he'll save his people from their sins. At Christmas, good news for us and that would pass on. Hey, you found free and absolute favor with God. Where else would we find that? And like Mary, and with respect to the Bible, but like Mary, we could say this, Christian brother and sister, you are full of grace. And the Lord is with you. And from now on, everyone, and especially God, will call you very, very blessed. May we know the gift of God, of Jesus, that he came to bring to our souls. Let's pray together. Lord, thank you for coming to Mary at the same time you were coming to us and you were coming to the whole world to say that God so loves the world that he gave his son. We'd trust in you. We wouldn't die in hell forever, but we would have everlasting life with God. Could it be that what happened to a simple girl was true? And could it be what happens to our soul is true? Jesus, because you came to rescue such ones as us. Might we know that wonderful salvation and rejoice in you because you wanted to spend eternity with us. And we'd never heard anything like that before. So give us your help at this joyful season. In your name we pray. Amen.